Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. There's no place I'd rather be on a Wednesday night than right here. Hey, how about this weather, y'all? Yeah. Lord, we thank you for rain. Rain is coming and softening up feet. It's like chiseling bricks, isn't it, Gabe? Whew, man, I had to get out the torch today and put a little torch on them. My goodness. All right. Hey, let's give God glory for what he did this last weekend. This place was packed, smooth, full of people. Man. I said it in prayer the other day, but I really wanted to say, now, if y'all don't come back next week, you won't go to heaven. But I didn't say it. I should have been led by the Spirit and said, Pastor Robert. It's good to have you guys back. Justin, Ron, hey, what's up, guys? If we have 10 kids in the children's church, they got half of them back there. Just putting that out there. Don't they? All right. Well, hold up your Bible tonight. All right, I'm so glad you brought your Bible, all right? Not having your Bible is like trying to eat spaghetti without a fork. You'll get a lot on you, but not a lot in you. Come on, somebody. All right. Say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I'm going to learn from the ever-living, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I will never, ever, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It gets better every time, doesn't it? All right, Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 10, it says this, New King James, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'm going to do a quick recap of last time that we were here. And talking about the helmet of salvation. Now, it's been 2 weeks because last week we had the painter here. Wasn't he incredible? Man, he was everything I taught him, he did so good. But the week before, we talked about the helmet of salvation. Why would the Holy Spirit compare a piece of weaponry like this to salvation? Because your salvation is the most gorgeous, most intricate, most elaborate, and most ornate gift God ever gave you. I've heard it said many times before, your testimony should be so big out there to your clients, to your people, to your friends, to your church family. And if you have to use words, use them. Right? Our body should be, our life should be a reflection of how he has saved us and made us new. New creation in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. When a person is confident of his salvation and when he is walking in the powerful reality of all that salvation means for him, that person is noticeable, for real. By exposing your unprotected mind to the devil's lying insinuations, you are placing yourself in a position to be deceived. In fact, to face the adversary without your helmet of salvation is the equivalent of spiritual suicide. In the first place, this emphatically means that when a person has a mental or emotional stronghold in his life, he has walls around him that are so thick others cannot seem to break through that barrier to help him. Those invisible walls keep outsiders from getting in. Like invisible walls, strongholds are rooted in people's minds and emotions to keep others from getting too close to them. Remember, we talked about strongholds. We talked about repentance. Repentance for allowing the mental and emotional strongholds to develop in your life is absolutely essential before all else. We pray for God, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But a big part of that is what? It's repentance. The logical mind, although necessary and wonderful, will work against your spiritual life unless it is submitted to the control of the Holy Spirit. So let's put on the helmet of salvation. There's more to that, but I'm ready to talk about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, this is my favorite, y'all. It's the best one. Just kidding. They're all good, right? But the sword of the Spirit, I'm telling you, if you get revelation of this, I see so many people that are bound up because of the words that they say out of their mouth. They live in bondage because of the things. They stay in debt because of the things that they say. They stay offended because of the things that they say. And if you get a hold of this, I'm telling you, it'll be revelation to you and it'll be freeing. So we see in Ephesians 6:17, I like what it says in the Passion Translation here. It says, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. There we go. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessing of God upon all his believers. And that's what we're going to do next week with the Lance of Prayer. But spiritual battles are just like natural battles. Nations don't constantly engage in warfare. They fight when a problem comes along. Afterward, their soldiers return home, experience a time of peace and refreshing, and don't fight again until there is a reason to fight. The same is true with biblical spiritual warfare. Battles will come, but they won't come every day. God has given you spiritual weaponry so that when battles do come, we will be prepared. We will be prepared to maintain our position of victory over Satan. I mean, y'all, I believe you're here tonight because you want to be prepared. Amen? If you've received anything in this topic of Bible school, I hope you see not to navigate through life looking behind every door for a devil or the devil. Don't be looking for him anyway. But I hope your eyes are open on how important it is to be equipped, for when battles do come, you will be prepared to stand against them. All right? The sword of a Roman soldier. Of the different kinds of swords the Roman soldier used in their confrontation with enemy forces, the Holy Spirit carefully selected one of them to illustrate our sword of the Spirit. Let's look at the sword that the Apostle Paul referred to in Ephesians 6:17. The word for sword, as used in this text, comes from the Greek word makata. Makata was approximately 19 to 22 inches long with a very sharp blade. It was designed to inflict a mortal wound on an enemy or on their opponent. This particular sword was an exceptionally brutal weapon. Both sides of its blade were razor sharp, making this sword extremely dangerous when used in the hands of a well-trained soldier. It was a weapon of murder. Let's talk about a rhema word here. Paul's use of the word makata in this verse is used to describe our sword of the Spirit as God's declaration that he has given the church a weapon that is just that brutal against our enemy. This spiritual sword has the potential to thrust a deadly blow into the enemy's strategies against us. Paul goes on to give us more information about the sword. He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The term word is taken from the Greek word rhema, which is one of the most familiar Greek words used in the New Testament. It describes something that is spoken clearly, spoken vividly, spoken in undeniable language, or spoken in unmistakable, unquestionable, certain, and definite terms. in the New Testament, the word rhema carries the idea of a quickened word. Such a word of Scripture or a word from the Lord that the Holy Spirit supernaturally drops into a believer's mind, causing it to supernaturally come alive and impart special power or direction to that believer. These rhema words are powerful. When the Holy Spirit supernaturally quickens such a word or Bible verse to a believer's heart and mind, that believer knows that he knows he has heard from the Lord. There is no doubt about it. Jesus refers to this in John chapter 14, verse 26. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Holy Ghost, King James here, get a dose of the ghost, from the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You got to have it in you if he's going to bring it back to you. The Holy Spirit might drop a rhema word into our heart, supernaturally reminds us of a scripture, or puts us in remembrance of a Bible promise. When this happens, that word, scripture, or promise fills our entire being with faith because the Holy Spirit has spoken to us in a way that is clearly spoken, unmistakable, undeniable, unquestionable, certain, and definite. How many of y'all have ever had a rhema word like that before? Amen. A rhema is a specific word or message that the Holy Spirit quickens in our hearts and minds at a specific time or for a special purpose. Special purpose. So when Paul says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, he is referring to the Holy Spirit's ability to make such a divine word vividly come alive in our hearts and minds at a moment of need. One translation says, the sword that the Spirit wields as he draws for a special word from God. I thought that was good. This kind of word from the Lord gives you sword power in the spirit realm. Sword in the belt. Like other pieces of armor that God has given us, the sword and the belt, the loin belt, are inseparable. Just as a shield rests on a clip of the right side of the belt, the sword hung from a clip on the left side of the belt. The belt serves as both a support for the shield, and a resting place for the soldier's sword. As we have seen before, the belt is a representative of the written word of God, the Bible. This written word of God is the primary source for a rhema word from God. In all 12 sessions, have we not seen how important it is that we read the word of God? Listen, it's important that you're in the house of God and that you're here on Wednesday nights and on Sundays. But I'm telling you, you want to put on armor? You read the word of God. There's no excuses. You can have it read to you. A genuine rhema word or verse that the Holy Spirit quickens in your heart at a specific time and for a specific purpose in your life is so strong and powerful that it is as if God put a supernatural sword in your hand. With that sword in hand, you have a powerful weapon with which to repel Satan's attacks against you. These rhema words are both given and supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit to enable you to withstand the adversary's spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical attacks. They are the Holy Spirit's powerful rebirth to the devil's attempts to penetrate your mind with slanderous lies and accusations. Have you ever experienced the sword of the Spirit before? When you faced a terrible situation, has the Holy Spirit ever reached into the reservoir of Scripture you have stored up in your heart through study and prayer and quickened a verse to your mind that helped you in your time of need? Naturally speaking, you weren't even thinking of that verse, yet it seemed to suddenly pop in your mind. And at that moment, the verse was quickened to you. You just knew on the inside that everything was going to be all right. A verse that leaps off the page of the Bible and into your heart carries a special measure of power in your life. Like in Back to the Future 2, when the shark comes out of the theater into the face of Marty McFly. Those of you that have seen that, you know what I'm talking? Gabe, he got revelation right there. You know, he's out in the street. You know, when that shark comes out and it comes right onto him like that. I've had those moments before where the word just went right here, right up in your face. I love it. Marty McFly. Way to go, McFly. It is as though God is speaking only to you through those life-transforming words. When we receive such a word, it is like the Holy Spirit places a sword into your mouth. It's a divine word that gives us power, sharp enough to strike a fatal blow to the enemy's assaults against our lives. A Roman historian from 380 AD wrote, "A stroke with the edges, though made with ever so much force, seldom kills at the vital parts of the body, are defended by both the bones and armor. On the contrary, a stab, though it penetrates but 2 inches, is generally fatal. It was not the sweeping action of a soldier's sword that normally killed an enemy. On the contrary, it was the thrusting action of his sword that mortally wounded his enemy. Just like the historian said, a stab that penetrates 2 inches was all that it was to require to kill. You need to stab the enemy. This will require a rhema, or specifically quickened word from the scripture that the Holy Spirit has placed into your heart. When you use your mouth to declare a word that is ignited by faith in your heart, as long as is necessary, you are wielding a lethal weapon designed to pierce through and demolish the devil's strategies against you. Many people mistakenly think they must memorize the entire Bible before God can use them to speak to them. Certainly, the memorization of the Bible is good, and believers should commit as many scriptures to memory as possible. However, it is not necessary for a person to know the entire Bible in order to have the sword of the Spirit at his disposal." I'm just putting that lie to an end. "It is not necessary to receive a 10-page prophecy in order to have the sword of the Spirit in your hand." Come on. It's true that the Spirit of God can speak a lengthy personal word to our hearts about our lives. However, this is an exception, not the rule. On the contrary, when you study history, it becomes clear that most great men and women of God who have earned a place in the pages of history have done so about bringing a single, simple word from God. All it takes is one. Look at a few examples in the Bible. We see in the book of Genesis, Noah received a relatively short word from God that saved him and his family from destruction. Also, when God called Abraham to live in Mesopotamia, he had to start his walk in faith. His word of instruction from the Lord was a whole 3 verses. "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from the father's house into a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Don't I sound smarter just saying it out of the King James? All right? Joseph received a word from God about his personal life through 2 short dreams. Moses was tending sheep on Mount Horeb. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush, unmistakably revealing that Moses had been chosen by God to lead Israel out of Egyptian captivity. Mary, the mother of Jesus, received a word from God that is still working wonders in the world today. Because Mary's heart was receptive to this word from God, she was chosen to give birth to the Son of God. When reading the book of Acts, the ministry of the Apostle Paul was constantly influenced by supernatural words from the Lord. If I tried to name the modern day men and women whose obedience to a simple word from the Lord and how it affected the multitudes of the kingdom of God, the list would be too long to cover in one book. Let's be honest. The reason we enjoy many of our spiritual blessings today is because godly men and women who obeyed the simple, specially spoken rhema words they received from God were standing in a sanctuary of a couple that heard from God. Without exception, these historical figures received word from the Lord that were simple to understand and right to the point. These words from God changed the history of mankind. In talking about the sword of the Spirit, you might say these men and women lethally stabbed the domain of darkness by responding to a word they had heard from God concerning the purpose of their life. Although these words from the Lord were brief and straight to the point, they did great damage to Satan's dark kingdom, morally wounding the enemy's strategy to keep these individuals from fulfilling their God-ordained destiny in life. Remember, a 2-inch penetration by a sword is all that is required to fatally wound an enemy. When the Holy Spirit puts a sword, a rhema word, in our hands, it will probably be short, concise, and to the point. The Lord knows that a long word would be confusing to the majority of us. I love them short, concise, and to-the-point words. What is a two-edged sword? Oh, get ready. This is good. A two-edged sword, like the word Paul refers to when he writes the sword of the Spirit, are mentioned throughout the New Testament. For instance, when the Apostle John received his vision of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he said, and he in his right hand, let's just read it, Revelation 1:16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Y'all remember when we studied this last year. The phrase two-edged is taken from the Greek word distamos, and it is unquestionably one of the oddest words in the New Testament because it is a compound of the word di, meaning two, and the word stomos, which is the Greek word for one's mouth. When these two words are compounded in one word, the new word describes something that is two-mouthed. This is good. John is telling us that this was a sword that had two mouths. Therefore, you could accurately translate Revelation 1:16 to read, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-mouthed sword. A similar statement is found in Revelation 2:12, which says, into the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. The phrase two edges is once again taken from the Greek word distamos. As before, this word would be better translated as two mouths. So Revelation 2:12 could be translated a sharp sword with two mouths. Or you're going to get revelation of this. The identical phrase is also found in Hebrews 4:12, a verse that is crucial to this topic on the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12, let's read it. For the word of God is quick and is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Why is the word of God repeatedly referred to as a two-edged sword? Now keep in mind that the Romans had previously used a very large sword that was sharpened only on one side. The other side of the blade was blunt. To use this sword effectively, a soldier had to swing it perfectly, making certain that he was swinging with the correct side of the blade exposed towards his foe or his enemy. If the soldier hit the enemy with the blunt side of the blade, the blow would certainly lay a bruise on his opponent, but it would not kill him. This kind of sword was not entirely effective in battle. The Makata sword, however, was sharp on both sides of its murderous blades. And because the blade of the special sword was sharpened on both sides, it made deeper gashes and wounds than the other sword. The Gladius sword. It was also very sharp and pointed at the tip. If the soldier wrenched the blade just right inside his opponent's stomach, it would pull the man's guts out of his body when the sword was withdrawn. When a soldier used this deadly two-edged sword correctly, it always left the enemy lying on the ground in a puddle of his own blood. a position that guaranteed he would never bother the soldier again. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us that the Word of God is just like that. It is like a sword that has two edges, cutting both ways and doing terrible damage to an opponent. One sharpened edge of the sword came into being when the Word of God initially proceeded from the mouth of God. The second edge of the sword is added when the Word of God proceeds out of your mouth. This is the reason the original text calls the Word of God a two-mouth sword. When God first spoke his word and inspired biblical writers to record it, it was a one-mouth sword. In other words, it had only come out of one mouth at that time. Yes, it was the Word of God, and yes, it was a mighty sword and still is. However, since it had only come out of God's mouth at that time, it was only a one-mouth sword. When you take the step to meditate on the Word, it gets you ready for the next time you are confronted by a challenge from the demonic realm. The Holy Spirit will be able to reach down into the reservoir of God's Word you have stored up on the inside of you and pull one of those scriptures up out of your inner man. Then as that verse or divine promise begins to fill your mind and come out of your mouth, it becomes a two-mouth sword. When that word comes out of your mouth, a second edge was added to that sword, making it a lethal weapon to destroy and kill your enemy. This is good stuff. Meditate and confess. By meditating on God's word, you allow the word to do its marvelous work in you. When God's word begins to work inside of you, it cuts through the muck and mire of your mind and emotions and goes straight to the heart of the matter. In other words, it divides between soul and spirit to discern your innermost thoughts, attitudes, desires, and motives. You could say the Word of God has eyes. It sees what we cannot see in the physical. And once received in the heart, the Word immediately begins working to renovate those areas of your mind, your will, and emotions that are off base and wrong. Thank God for the Word. The next scripture after Hebrews 4:13 says this, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Ignoring the Word of God will allow old patterns of wrong thinking and bondages from our past to continue placing authority over us. I'm going to say that again. And ignoring the Word of God will allow old patterns and wrong thinking and bondages from our past to continue placing authority over us. On the other hand, meditating on the Word of God releases its dividing and discerning work on the inside of us. When we willfully take the Word of God into our lives and allow it to do its supernatural work in us, the Word acts like a divine blade, slicing right to the heart of the matter. It does what no spouse, friend, pastor, teacher, or anyone could ever do, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and correctly discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When the Word has done this extraordinary work in us, we are inwardly changed. We become filled with faith when we allow the Word of God to work in our lives. Why? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Do not underestimate the importance of studying, meditating, and praying over the Word of God. The work of studying, meditating, and praying releases the Word to become a part of your own inner being. When the truth of God's Word takes root in your heart like this and begins to release its transforming power in your mind, you are then in position to confess the Word of God in a manner that will release tremendous amounts of spiritual power. This kind of confession is truly the equivalent of stabbing a two-edged sword into the heart of your adversary. I've heard it said before, I have the Word down in my spirit. There's no need for me to confess the Word of God with my mouth. I've heard that said before. It's down in here. Keeping it trapped. I'll just keep this word to myself. Stopping short of confession will keep you from the victory you desire. I'm telling you, one word from God, change your life. It's good to meditate on the word. That's how your mind is renewed. You should meditate on God's word as much as you possibly can. For the word will make you inwardly rich. But if this is all you do, you have only a single edge, not a two-edged sword. That word will work on you personally, but it will never release its full power until it comes out of your mouth. When you speak the word, dynamite comes out your mouth. I had someone ask me, invited them to church this last Sunday, and he called me on Monday. He said, man, I really love the service. It's amazing how much scripture comes out of you and you don't even realize it. How do you do that? I said, I say them all the time. All the time. You want to do it too? You say them all the time. You say them all the time. You get 3x5 cards. I have lots of time shoeing horses. And I memorize scripture all the time. Because there's a whole lot of honky-tonk in here. There's a whole lot of hillbilly on the inside of here. I'm trying to train my inner man to know the word of God. And so I want to say those things. I want to say those things out of my mouth. When you speak the word, I'm telling you, dynamite comes out your mouth. Notice the scripture in Revelation describing Jesus, who is the word of God, having a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Notice that the sword is not in his hand, but in his mouth. When a word that God has quickened in your spirit rises up to your mind and you speak it out, you are wielding a powerful sword with two edges on it. That sword has already had the opportunity to produce faith in you. When you speak forth that special word from the Lord, it comes out of your mouth with force. You need healing in your body. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. I'm telling you, there's been times where I have been sick. And you can Google healing scriptures. That'll play. I want to hear them. But also, too, I'm going to say them. I've been throwing up and saying, by his stripes I am healed. He sent his word and he healed me and he delivered me from all destruction. Come on, out of my mouth, faith rises up on the inside of me. Eventually, you'll believe it. You may not at the beginning, but eventually you'll believe it. Anything, he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. It's in him I put my trust. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. I believe he'll keep his angels charge over my family. Keep them in all their ways that no evil befall them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Come on. Over and over and over. And you know what? I'm going to give a big kudos to my mom and dad. I heard them say the word all the time in my home. I need to be a better job of it. But I know my kids hear me say it when I pray. They hear me say it all the time. But that's a big reason that the word's on the inside of me, because I heard them say it. Moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, speak the word. Speak the word. Have you not seen tonight? It's an enemy that pulls the guts out of him and leaves him dead. Speak the word. Even you have to get this out. There's times before where I've invited the enemy. Sit down right here and we're going to read the book of Revelations together. You lose. You're a loser. It's in your DNA. You're about to lose again. I'm just reminding you. You can pick on me all you want to. But you're a lahu yahar. You've seen that movie? Y'all need to repent. All right? I'll repent with you. Are we on hearing from God? The sword of the Roman soldier hung down from the belt in a beautiful scabbard that was made of either leather or specially molded metal. The sword hinged entirely on the soldier's belt. Remember, when talking about the weapons, the first one and the most important one is the belt, the written word of God. Likewise, because it starts there, Likewise, that word you need from God today hinges entirely on the presence or absence of the written word of God in your life. Let's say that again. The word you need from God today. How many of y'all need a word of God from God today? Okay, yeah, me too. Hinges entirely on the presence or absence of the written word of God in your life. In other words, you will receive the rhema you need from God because you have the written word at your disposal. God speaks through his word. It's sort of the sword of the spirit hanging from the belt. The sword of the spirit. So if you want a sword of the spirit, get in God's word. When the word of God gets in your heart and mind, that word begins to impart light and direction to you. It will rise up from within as a sword, a specific word of divine guidance. It doesn't matter how dark the situation is that you are facing. When this sword of the Spirit comes up from your spirit, it will show you the way to go. A believer's ability to walk in this kind of supernatural direction and revelation is completely determined by how much word he has on the inside of him. People who receive frequent rhema word from the Lord are people who have made the logos, the written word, an essential part of their life. Jesus needed a sword too. How many of y'all know he's the perfect example for you and for me, walking in his footsteps? Can't go on without talking about how Jesus did this as well. In Matthew 4, we find a story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, led by the Spirit to be tempted. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was intensely tested by Satan. Because this testing of the devil was so extreme and intense, the Lord Jesus Christ needed a sword of the Spirit to withstand these attacks from the evil one. Let's look at it. Verse 1, Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. That don't even make sense. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made great." I may say it don't make sense, but you study the King James, it's the real deal. But he answered and said, what did he say? "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up on the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him the kings of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, "All these things will be given thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written," there it is again, "thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus faced the enemy the same way we face the enemy in life. The devil was saying to Jesus, "If you are who you say you are, show me." How many of you ever felt that way before? If you are who you really tell everybody that you are, why don't you show me? Proof's in the pudding. How did Jesus answer Satan? What did he say? He said, "It is written." The Holy Spirit, in all of his power and mind, provided a verse in due season. If it worked for Jesus, don't you think it'll work for you? It'll work for us. Amen? It's guaranteed. You might as well get ready for your own testing in the wilderness. Because when you begin to take new territory for the kingdom of God, the devil will try to stop you. As soon as you begin to grow in your knowledge of God's word and make spiritual progress, Satan will try to slow you down. The enemy doesn't want you to make any progress in your spiritual life. Most believers sit back and let the devil beat them to pieces. They forget that they don't just have defensive armor at their disposal. They also have offensive weapons to destroy every strategy that the enemy throws at them. If you permit the Word of God to have an authoritative role in your life today, you will be ready when you face the wiles of the enemy in the future. The Spirit of God will have a vast reservoir of Scripture within you from which to draw the exact sword you need to repel every attack. In order to guarantee that you have a sword of the Spirit in your hand to answer the devil's mental assaults, begin today to attach the loin belt of truth firmly to your life. Study the written word, praying over it, meditating on it continually, for it is the source from which your sword will be drawn. Refuse to allow the devil to beat you down and defeat any longer with his lies and accusations. Instead, allow the Holy Spirit to wield a powerful word, like the blade of a mighty two-edged sword through the faith-filled words of your mouth. Then the enemy will be the one who leaves the scene defeated and demoralized. While you keep moving forward, walk victorious in the light of God's word. Amen? Come on. How many of y'all going to speak the word this week? Speak the word over your kids. Speak the word over your situation. Speak the word over America. Speak the word at your job. You may not have to shout it from the rooftops in there, but I'm telling you, you can talk yourself into things. Amen? Speak the word. We have every opportunity to speak other things, to complain, right? Amen? Complain, to say all kinds of other things. We might as well say what the Word of God has to say. Amen? You guys getting anything out of spiritual warfare? There's a lot to just these four scriptures, is there not? There's a lot to these four scriptures. Next week, the lance of prayer. And I'm super excited about that. All right? Well, let's pray together tonight. And God, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your word. Thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. God, I just pray for those situations, God. Maybe it is fear. Maybe it is doubt. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's offense of some kind. Whatever thing that the enemy has done to try to open a door inside of a family's life or inside of this dad, this mom, this husband, this wife, whoever they are. God, you know the situation. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that you implanted something inside of their heart and how important it is to speak the word of the living God. I thank you that your word is alive. It's a living particle. It is alive still today. It's not dead, but it is alive. And, Lord, I just thank you that tonight, that supernaturally, you implanted something in somebody's heart of how important it is that they speak the word of God. May they speak the word over their health. May they speak the word over their finances. May they speak the word over the situation of their children. In Jesus' mighty name, I lift these parents up to you, God. I just pray that they would speak the word, that they would say over their kids that they have the mind of Christ. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. They are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. If God be for them, then who in the world can be against them? And so, Lord, we speak the word. We speak the word over our country, God. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you're doing a great and mighty thing. I pray for revival, Lord, in Jesus' name. Revive us. Revive us, oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.